from stpetecatalyst.com.
Welcome to another episode of Political Party with Adam Smith. We've got a couple special guests. Jarrett Johnston is president of the Pinellas County Young Republicans. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
And Chris Vikerlin. I mangled the pronunciation. Pronounce it right.
Vikerlin. It's been the bane of my existence in second grade. Good to see you. Thank you for having me on.
And you're with the Tampa Bay Young Republicans. Even though you're not going to be young, you're not going to qualify as young for that much longer. 30
Yes, years. I have 5.5 more years and then I'm going to be out.
So I was interested in getting a couple young Republicans on because of this cycle where I've been reading clips about, the youth vote is fired up more than maybe any time since 2008. There's some polling to suggest. Not because they're fired up about Joe Biden, which very few Democrats seem to be, but because they're fired up against Trump. And I'm just wondering what you guys are hearing out there among your peers, among normal civilian 20 and 30-somethings.
I mean, I can just more or less talk about Pinellas County, but I mean, Trump has this way to just energize people like no one really has before. Here in Pinellas County, just counting young Republicans, we've had 80,000 voter contacts where, I mean, it's not hard to get these Trump-supporting young conservative Republicans to go out and realize the importance of this election and that we need to make those contacts and get out there and keep Pinellas County red.
And what's driving people, Chris? I mean, you've been knocking on doors, I gather, right?
Yes, I have been knocking on doors. So I think what is most prevalent, the reason people come to see me and the Trump Victory Campaign to knock on doors is because they feel like it's their only way to outlet in a constructive way what they feel about politics. They feel like they're not being heard in some of the local elections. They feel like they can't necessarily express their political views to their coworkers, to their families, to their friend groups. So they're looking for an outlet to be able to make a difference in the campaign without having to be maybe fired upon, as far as rhetoric goes, with their peers.
And that's because I'm assuming because people are so hostile to Trump in many cases that you're almost automatically painted as a racist or a troglodyte if you're pro-Trump and you just get attacked.
Yeah, that's part of it. So one thing I've found most often, and this comes from both sides, I think that we all as a polity, we fight caricatures of one another. We fight straw men of one another, and not everyone has talked to the other side and has had a conversation to see what people actually believe. And that's one of my goals as someone that's involved in politics is to always have that civilized conversation with somebody else on the other side to find out what they actually believe as opposed to what is being portrayed as the most incendiary version of that that gets clicks and likes and views on TV.
And Jarrett, I'm guessing because of your role, you've always been very interested in politics. I know we were talking before we started that your parents...
Yeah, I mean, I probably started in high school, started reading the news, started taking an interest, and it progressively got worse. You could ask some friends.
Are you a Donald Trump Republican or are you a Marco Rubio or a George H.W. or George W. Bush Republican?
There's parts of Trump I like. I probably more align with a Marco Rubio Republican. Some are closer to the middle. Willing to work with both sides. I'm a softer spoken person, so sometimes the extreme rhetoric is not my style.
Yeah, and where did you go to high school and college?
St. Petersburg Catholic High School, Go Barons, and USF mainly at the St. Pete campus.
USF's pretty evenly split, but my kids went to school in the Northeast and they went to, they just are subjected to nothing but left. I mean, you can barely find a Republican in some of the schools they go to. Is it hard to be a college Republican today? Is it hard to be a young spokesperson and advocate for Donald Trump?
Not extremely. Now, I was never really involved with the college Republicans. There was not a chapter at USF St. Pete, which is kind of how I fell in with the Pinellas County Young Republicans. So there was less of that college vibe. And I was, for the majority of the time, the youngest person in the room, even at Young Republicans. That's kind of changing. We're starting to pull more people from USF St. Pete. Our vice secretary, Casey, she's a current student there. I know they now have a Turning Point chapter. So there is a group there, especially they have a very active online USF St. Pete like conservative circle. So it's much more there now than it was even 2.5 years ago when I graduated. The infrastructure in the community wasn't really there.
Chris, what about it? Is it tough to be somebody your age? I think in the polls, Trump is up 20 something points generally where they break out. Well, at least 18 to 29. Biden is up and very likely to win handily that age group. But is it hard to be in the minority of your age set politically?
I will say it's been difficult as far as some of my friendships. I've unfortunately lost some friends because of my beliefs. I think, like I said before, I've lost friends because of caricatures of my beliefs. Fortunately, I have a lot of good friends, coworkers, family that I can talk politics about, that accept everything I have to say. I can have friendly conversations with certain family members that don't, you know, look down on me because of what I believe. And they, you know, have these conversations with me as opposed to, you know, just casting me out of their circle. But I will say it's been tough losing a lot of my core friends because they don't like what I believe.
And what is it that drives you? I mean, if there are one or two or three issues that really animate you for Trump and to be a Republican, what are they? Chris?
I will say the economic issue is my first and foremost. I want to be a small business owner. I'm working on that right now, but I want the economic environment to be such that I can succeed without having all kinds of extraordinary regulations to deal with, without having the extra taxes to worry about. I'd say number two is Second Amendment. I think that we have one of the biggest contentions. It hasn't been lately because I think the protests and riots have made America realize that they might want to be able to defend themselves. And I think that even people on the left, they realize that everyone on the right is armed. And they want to be able to defend themselves if, you know, there's, for some example, for some reason, a fight amongst the left and the right, which is extraordinarily, that's not going to happen. It's stupid to even think about that, but I think that's another issue. But from my standpoint, the Second Amendment is important because of the everyday environment everyone's in. I think it's important to be able to defend ourselves and to be able to defend our country from external threats as well.
And is your concern that a Biden would take away semi-automatic weapons, or what's the concern because with him on guns, on the Second Amendment?
I do think that there, not necessarily Biden. Biden hasn't put forth a lot of rhetoric about firearms, but I think his past administration, Obama, who he worked with, people are afraid of the term semi-automatic weapons. They don't realize that's a standard handgun. The only thing that's slower shooting than that is like a revolver. People conflate semi-automatic with like something that someone's going to use in Afghanistan. And I do think that people's lack of that knowledge makes them want to attack semi-automatic weapons, which is what everyone that carries a modern handgun has. So that is one of my concerns, yes.
And Jarek, what fires you up? If you're a Marco Rubio Republican, there are some Marco Rubio Republicans that are very diehard never Trumpers now and think that he is so far the worst thing that's ever happened to the Republican Party, maybe the country, that they're voting for Biden. Not a lot, but some.
No, and I get it. I get where the criticism comes from. But there's some issues that I think we still agree with, like China is a threat. I mean, that's something that, I mean, within my lifetime, I know that's going to be a reckoning for this country. I mean, they're trying to become the next superpower. They're trying to take our place on the world stage. And that's something that I feel Donald Trump is more likely to succeed in pushing back on than a Joe Biden presidency would be.
And then a lot of people think Russia's a threat too. And what's going on with, you know, question?
They're definitely a threat too. And I think Trump has pushed back on Russia.
Okay. I don't recall that, but maybe he has.
Well, Chris. At one point, there was actually in the Crimea conflict, I believe it was, I think Donald Trump actually gave American troops the red light to fire on Russian mercenaries who were working on annexing Crimea for Russia, if I'm not mistaken.
But he's been more friendly toward Vladimir Putin than any president or toward the Russian regime than any president since most of us have been alive, fair to say.
I will say he's been less cold than other administrations have been.
What's your sense out there talking to friends and whatnot? I talk to a lot of Republicans and Democrats closely involved. Republicans feel very confident about Florida. The Democrats less so. Polls show basically a dead heat. What are you seeing out there, Jarek?
I mean, I definitely think as a party, we're in a strong position come November. From a YR perspective, we've knocked on, I believe, north of a quarter million doors in the state, and that was as of a month ago. Democrats really have been losing on that ground game, not getting out, not wanting to knock on doors, and that's somewhere we see ourselves making gain. We see us registering more voters, flipping people, and bringing more people into the party.
And you're knocking on door. Democrats are doing some door knocking, but they're really just dropping literature. They're not really talking to people because of COVID. You guys are talking to people, right?
Yep, talking to people. We're wearing masks and keeping the distance, but we're still having those conversations.
What's your view on mail voting versus in-person voting? There was a time when Republicans owned mail voting. Now they're sort of getting more and more scared about it.
I love mail voting. I vote by mail. My whole family votes by mail. I encourage people to vote by mail. I find it safe, secure. I mean, we've been doing it for years. It's helped us as a party win elections before. I can see we're in some states where they're trying to rush to register more voters so close to the election now can be a concern. But in the state of Florida, I'm not worried at all.
And is that, how do you feel, Chris? Hopefully we can hear you now.
So like I was saying, I feel like the mail-in vote has the potential for fraud. I think the issue is not so much mail-in voting is a problem. I think that mass mail-in, like mass absentee ballots for everyone, as opposed to people that have to apply for them and receive them, is the issue that most Republicans have an issue with. But as far as people being hostile, no, I think that everyone that I come in contact with is friendly. They enjoy people coming out to do the work of the campaign. I'd say of all of the people I knock, I probably get 10% that actually answered the door. Most of them are, Tampa's a busy town, St. Pete's a busy town, so not everyone's home. But the conversations I have, everyone is very receptive. They look around and almost be like, do my neighbors know that you're talking to me? You know, they're worried about being outed. You know, some of them have to take some pretty crafty mechanisms to place their signs in a way, a place where they won't get stolen.
Do you ever wish we had a different president? I mean, a different Republican president? That you have to actually sort of lose friends. I mean, there are many people that could not stand George W. Bush, yes. But, you know, Mitt Romney, you know, somebody that's less divisive and polarizing than Trump.
So I'll start with that one. I think Trump isn't necessary in certain degrees because when someone slanders you or someone makes a mockery of your position or says things that are untrue about you, and you can, you know, make your own assessments about what things those are, I think it's not, me personally, I don't like to be put in a position where I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to let it roll off my back. I would like to address that, correct the record, and move forward. And I think that's a lot of the contention is because he is the New York guy who's going to push back in a way that's a little more brash, a little more rude than somebody else would just let it roll off and go by and say the next question. I think that's something that I can relate to.
And Jarek, I'll ask you that question. I mean, this is a guy who, and you know, up front, I'm not a Trump supporter in any way, shape, or form, but I very much respect what you guys are doing. You know, he does objectively lie all the time. You know, there was it's a never-ending divisive chaos with him in the White House. Do you ever wish there was a different standard bearer for the Republican Party?
Most likely. If I could take his positions on some of the key issues and package them, I mean, in a more friendly form, yes, that'd be great. Would it energize the party as much? No. Would I be able to get as many young Republicans out knocking doors? No. So there's a trade-off there.
You think, I keep saying Mitt Romney, but if Mitt Romney were the standard bearer, he's just not as interesting or as exciting or different and fresh. Oh, sure. Yeah. He's a typical politician, more or less.
I mean, I do have respect for him, but he's not as exciting to the base as Donald Trump is.
Chris, if Biden wins, if the polls, and the polls all pointed to Hillary winning last time, but the polls are now pointing to Biden winning, do you feel like that is how much does that scare you for the future of America?
It doesn't scare me at all. I think that the our political system is designed to sway back and forth. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm working my hardest to make sure it doesn't happen, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I think what it will result in is people like myself and Jarek working harder for next time around. And I think it's going to, we'll focus more on our local governments to make sure that the things that we're worried about don't get trampled on, like our gun rights, make sure our taxes don't go up. We can do our best to lobby in the lower offices to make sure that we retain what we're looking for. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think I don't want it to happen, you know, so.
I got you. And Jarek, I asked that because there are a lot of Democrats that really view this the stakes as existential for the country, that they think if Trump wins a second term, literally the Republic is at stake or something. Or how do you feel about the prospect of Biden as the president?
I mean, would I lose sleep? Probably not more than a couple of days. But do I think the country would go in a better direction if Donald Trump remained president? Yes, I do. I don't think Joe Biden has the necessary energy to really bring to the table right now. It's not his time.
Well, I'm excited about Tuesday, about the debate. So I really appreciate both you guys coming on, and I really appreciate, thank you for your service to this country. I hope you lose, but I really admire anybody who's as involved and throws themselves into politics and public service. Either of you guys going to run for office anytime soon?
I don't have plans. I'm focusing on working on my own businesses, you know. Obviously, politics takes money, and you have to make more than I do in order to be able to run for office successfully, so probably not. But also, before we go, I want to just thank you, Adam, for having us on, and I will call you the Joe Rogan of St. Pete, because you come off as a, you know, I know your leanings, but you're a good moderator, and you ask good questions, so thank you.
But Alex Jones is never welcome on Political Party with Adam Smith, but I guess...
Okay, that's acceptable. I probably wouldn't have him on my show either.
Jarek, what about you? When are you running for... You know, the St. Pete mayor's race is coming open, and there's people looking for a good Republican to run.
Well, I'm not interested in running for mayor. I mean, maybe city council at some point. We'll see. But thanks for having us on. You know, this is so weird for me. I mean, I read your articles when I was in high school, so this is weird. But I love it. Thanks.
Good. Well, great to meet you both. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam. See you around.
Thank you.
From stpetecatalyst.com.